Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Inside Danger by Ashley Claudy. Narrated by Rebecca Estrella. We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. Plato. 1. The Other Side. The gun pressed into my skin as I climbed out of the cab. I tugged on my shirt, pulling it low with clammy hands, trying to keep the gun and my nerves covered. I had no clue what I was about to get myself into as Silas approached dressed in a dark suit, but his sly smile reminded me that it wasn't anything good. Not that I needed a reminder. The gun tucked into my jeans, an almost burning presence, was enough. His smile faltered as he dragged me away from the line of people waiting to get into the building.
"What are you wearing, Reagan? I told you this was a club."
I wanted to be prepared for anything. I pulled my arm out of his grip, and he shrugged. He let out a puff of laughter, and his breath clouded in the cool night air.
"You're not turning criminal tonight. You don't need to be in all black."
His eyes scanned over my dark top and jeans, a frown dropping into place.
"Fucking A. Did you bring a gun, too? Give it to me."
My heart stopped at being called out so quick. The outfit was supposed to pass for dressy, but also allow me to move. I wanted to be prepared for anything, since this meeting was a mystery to me. No one was in listening distance, but there were plenty of eyes from the line of people trying to get into this place. Silas nodded his head to the side of the warehouse, and we walked around the corner, out of view from everyone.
"I'm serious. Give me your gun and anything else you might have. These people don't know you, and walking in armed could get you hurt. They're meeting with you because I said they could trust you. Don't make me regret it."
I didn't trust him, but I was going to have to follow his directions if I wanted to go through with this. And I did want to go through with this. Stepping further into the shadows of the building, close enough to touch him, I pulled the Glock from the back of my waistband and handed it over. He knelt down and slipped the gun into the top of his boot, covering it with his dress slacks. Rising, he cocked an eyebrow at me.
"Good girl. Anything else you need to hand over?"
The pit in my stomach was bottomless, and I shook my head. I recalled Nan's tiny body in the hospital bed with machines hooked to her, and let the fiery anger fill me, strengthening me.
"We can go in the back."
He jerked his head to the side door at the far end of the building. Each step into the darkness was bringing me closer to fate, and with each step, I dropped any hesitation. There was no turning back. I needed to go in confident and sure. By the time I reached the door, I was. Danger may be on the other side, but it was better than the fear I lived with now. At least this way I was doing something instead of running. I was fighting for her, Nan, even if it was too late to do any good. But I was also fighting for him, whether he wanted me to or not. I was done fighting for me. It wasn't worth it. Nothing good ever came of it. Silas pulled out his phone, thumbs gliding across the screen as he texted, and then the door opened. A man with a buzzed head and a smirk as dark as his eyes let us in.
"Come. Nick's waiting."
His voice was flat and low, with the hint of an accent. He nodded to me and then turned down to the hallway with dim fluorescent lighting. The muffled beat of music and stale smell of alcohol filled the air, intensifying as we walked around a corner. The man knocked twice on a door before opening it. He gestured for us to go in, sending a cold chill through me as I brushed past him. Even though he was only about my height, with a slight build under his cream-colored sweater, something in his face and the way he held himself was sinister. But if he chilled me, the other man in the room nearly sent me into hypothermia. He had the size of Gage and a close resemblance, but was older, harder. His dark hair was pulled back in a low ponytail, and a fitted button-up shirt covered his muscles that were a bit softer than his nephew's, but still held obvious strength. He turned from the monitor he was looking at, surveillance footage from around the club in tiny squares on the screen, and his eyes struck me. Gage's light blue eyes always seemed cold, But this man's dark ones were worse. I didn't need the introduction to know who this was, but it was given anyways. Silas put a hand on my back, nudging me further into the room.
Nick, this is Reagan. Reagan, this is Nick, and that's Dimitri.
He gestured to the man closing the door behind us.
Want a drink?
Nick asked us, eyes still locked on me. My mouth was dry and stuck together, but I shook my head.
I'll have one,
Silas said. Nick inclined his head to Dimitri and crossed the room to sit on the couch, gesturing for us to sit in the two chairs opposite him. I took the chair closest to the door, and Silas sat in the other one. Dimitri made drinks from a small bar cart in the corner of the room. He set two glasses filled with amber liquid and ice down on the low glass coffee table in front of us. Sipping on one himself, he leaned against the desk off to the side of our sitting area. I didn't like how he was just behind my vision if I faced Nick, especially since his sharp eyes were on me. Nick set his phone on the table and picked up his drink, sipping it slow. He watched me with narrowed eyes as he leaned back on the couch. Holding the glass in midair, he addressed me.
Silas told me about your situation. You're willing to help us if we help you?
I looked to Silas, but he nodded back at me. I needed to do the talking. Depends on what you mean by help. The corner of his mouth turned up, along with one eyebrow.
Well, let's make it clear.
He set his glass down.
Let's make sure both parties understand what they're asking for. It's important, especially since I can't imagine a young thing like you wanting what Silas said you wanted.
Pulling a cigarette out of his shirt pocket, he balanced it between his lips as he lit it.
You don't strike me as a cold, hard bitch,
he mumbled around the cigarette and then pulled it from his mouth, exhaling in my direction.
So tell me, what exactly is it you want?
I flicked my eyes to Silas, who nodded for me to continue. There's a man I want dead. The nerves that tightened in my throat made it hard to breathe. Nick took another drag of his cigarette and leaned forward, resting his forearms on his spread legs. He pointed his smoke at me and shook his head.
You mean you want someone killed? Murdered? Say it straight, 'cause wanting someone dead is different than wanting them murdered. You understand?
I sucked in a sharp breath and nodded.
Say it, then.
He relaxed back on the sofa and extended an arm along the top, but his eyes were full of challenge. I want him killed. My voice came out clear and emotionless. His lips pulled up in a chilling smile as he nodded at me.
Who? Who has pissed you off so bad you think they deserve to die, little one?
His condescending tone turned on my anger, and steel ran through my veins, strengthening me. Damien Yellow. He's involved with Rock. Do you know him?
I know Rock. I don't know this Damien, but if he's one of his soldiers, then shit's tough, but I can deliver. Now I'm curious, though. Why?
Nan's face flashed in my mind. He murdered my friend. Silas set down his glass and got our attention.
He's also been threatening Reagan, once her dead, but he wants to be the one to do it. Give directions to have her brought to him.
Bile rose in my throat, and I tried to meet Silas's gaze, but he avoided looking in my direction. He had only told me that Damien wanted me dead, not that he wanted me brought to him. I knew Damien was sick and dangerous, but this took it to a whole new level. Unless Silas was lying, but I couldn't figure out an angle as to why he would at this point. I had already agreed to this. I was here.
Well, fuck. Then this needs to be done sooner than later. But first, let's work out terms. What do we get for doing this?
Silas said as long as I continued to fight for him. The minute the words were out, I knew it wouldn't be enough. Nick looked between the two of us and tapped the table with the tip of his finger.
Nuh-uh. Yes, you need to keep fighting under our gym, but we need a guarantee of something more. Let's say a cash value. 'Cause what if you lose, and we end up with nothing? She's good. I know she'll bring in money,
Silas defended. It seemed like Nick had poked his pride.
Maybe so, but we're gonna need you to bring in $50,000 for this risk. We're in a tight spot with Rock as is, and this will stir it up if he finds out.
Silas and Nick ran over numbers and what I could potentially make for future fights. Silas already had one lined up for me in 2 weeks, and another next month, but the time it would take to make their money was too long. It didn't surprise me when they started talking about setting up my fights, but I wasn't sure I could do it. I can't guarantee a win in a certain round. I'm not that experienced. I could throw a fight, but even losing in a called round, I can't promise that. And again, I was amazed at how level my voice sounded. Inside, I was a quivering mess, but I was keeping it together on the outside, where it mattered.
How about we practice first? The next fight, let's pretend. We have to wait till the odds come out to pick a round, but we'll see. You can't lose just yet. That's a ticket we won't cash till you got a larger win column.
As he talked, his phone vibrated for about the dozenth time. He picked it up, pressing on the screen without breaking his conversation.
So, do we have a deal?
He looked up from the phone, like everything had been worked out. I'm not quite sure I understand what's expected of me. What if I can't win in the rounds you choose? What then? Gage had won in the fourth, but they bet on the third, and I hadn't seen him since. Silas assured me he had seen him, though, and he was okay, but it had been a week since he walked out of that hotel on me, and I wanted to know what was next. I was tempted to ask Nick directly. He was his uncle. He should be on Gage's side, but I couldn't be sure.
That's why we gave a cash value. You'll come up with it one way or another.
Nick lifted his eyes from his phone to me.
Deal?
What about Damien? How will that be done?
You ask a lot of questions. Leave the details to us. We'll let you know when and how after it's done.
I wanted to ask who we was. He kept saying that, but he was dismissing me.
If we're done here, I'll walk you out.
He went to his desk and slid on his jacket. Dimitri walked to the side of where we sat, ushering us to the door. I guess the deal was done. Nick glanced at his phone one last time, then slipped it into his coat pocket and walked towards the door.
Before you go,
he turned back to us.
I have to introduce you to someone.
Silas stepped to the side of me.
Who? You don't have to come.
Nick slid his eyes from Silas to me.
Someone wants to meet our newest fighter.
Silas is my ride. I didn't want him to leave. He had my gun, and I wasn't about to go off with Nick alone.
Then he can come too.
He walked out the door, expecting us to follow. Dimitri left us little choice since he stayed behind us and kept us moving out of the room. We walked down the hall, and it became clear what type of club this was. A stage came into view, and topless girls were up working the poles. Nick opened a door to the right, just before we reached the opening to the main club. The room was full of people. It was its own mini-club, a bar along one wall, three personal stages, each with half-naked girls dancing on them, and a dark blue sofa that ran along two walls. Men spotted the sofa, and some stood in clusters. In the corner was the largest group, and my eyes immediately found him, as if pulled by a magnet. I froze, stunned. Gage was sitting back in a chair, laughing. It was unlike any expression I'd ever seen from him, and it's what shocked me the most. I had been going crazy this week, and there he was, beer in hand, laughing. A man next to him clasped him on the shoulder and spoke into Gage's ear. Gage's eyes rose up as he listened, and they landed on me. Maybe for a split second something crossed his face, or maybe that was wishful thinking. Either way, he covered it with a swig from his bottle, And then his smile was back, and he was no longer looking at me. Silas leaned into me and spoke low.
Don't lose that poker face now. Stop staring.
I closed my mouth and pulled my surprise back in, along with all the other mixed bag of emotions Gage pulled out of me. The man next to Gage gestured for us to come over with a single wave of his hand. He was tall, blonde, and kind of skinny, but his suit fit well, and he seemed to be the center of this room. We walked through the maze of people until we were standing in front of him. I never let my eyes go back to Gage, but he was still there in the corner of my vision, and it took all my strength not to stare and drink him in.
This must be the new girl.
The blonde rose to his feet, and the way his hazel eyes ran over me made my skin crawl.
Everything's worked out. She's your newest fighter.
He directed his politician smile to me.
Sweetheart.
Reagan. The word was out before I could think. He cocked his head slightly.
Excuse me?
Reagan. My name is Reagan. I said it evenly, as if my heart wasn't pounding a hole into my ribcage. I didn't want to offend him. I could tell he held power here. But I didn't want to continue on with him calling me sweetheart either. I needed to make that clear.
Reagan?
His lip curled in amusement.
Well, Reagan, I would love to stay and talk, but I have somewhere to be. I wanted to introduce myself, though. I'm Anatoly Rusnak.
He stepped close and shook my hand with a firm grip, his other hand even firmer on my shoulder.
I've had a fortunate week. I'm the new owner of the City Center Boxing Club, and we're glad you chose to stay on.
He winked at me. This was Rusnak. I hoped my shallow breaths didn't give away how uncomfortable he made me. He pulled his hands away as Gage stood up.
You can stay, Rusnak directed to Gage. Dmitri is coming with me.
He gestured to Dmitri, and they both walked out. All eyes followed his path as he left. He may have been skinny, but strength was clear in his movements and when he had touched me. Nick stepped next to Gage, grabbing his shoulder.
Aren't you going to say hi? This is the girl you jumped out of the ring to kiss, isn't it?
His words dripped with sarcasm, and I knew then he wasn't for Gage. And the way his eyes lit up on me and his face twisted with a smirk, I also knew that I wasn't here to meet Rusnak, or even for our deal. They wanted me here for this moment, so Gage would see. I was a pawn they were using to get to him. I wasn't helping him. I had only made things worse. 2. Regret. Maybe I was being overly suspicious. Maybe Nick's comment wasn't the bomb I thought it was. Maybe. If I went off of other reactions, it was nothing more than conversation, but I wasn't willing to give any of them that benefit of the doubt. I couldn't help but study Gage as he responded. He inclined his head to me with a slight nod of greeting before giving his uncle a questioning side look.
That was a fun night, but why is she here?
He typically stood tall, confident, with his shoulders back, but not now. His shoulders were slightly rounded, a barely there change, but my heart dropped at what it could mean. Was he intentionally making himself less, or had they beat out his confidence? This close, his bruises were visible. His bottom lip was swollen and cut, and a shadow of a bruise was on his cheek. Those weren't from his fight last week. I slid my hands into my back pockets to keep from reaching for him. They tingled with the need to touch him, to more than see that he was okay. I needed to feel it. Nick laughed, ignoring his question.
What's the matter? You don't want her here? I thought you'd like seeing your girl again. Never seen you put in so much work for one before.
Gage picked up his beer bottle, eyes on me as he took a sip. But there was nothing in them, and that was holding me together. His guard was up, and I didn't know when I had gotten so close that I could read the little signs. Or maybe it was my imagination again. But either way, I would follow his lead. His gaze dropped over me, looking me up and down with a blank face, and then he shrugged and turned to Nick.
She was fun, but not worth the trouble.
He sat back down on the sofa and nodded towards me.
I don't care if she's here, though. I see her all the time at the gym. Just wondered why.
Heat burned under my skin. As much as I tried to keep cool and distant, I couldn't control the reaction, even when I tried to remind myself he wasn't being honest. This was all an act. It had to be. Nick sat beside him and cocked his head, appraising me.
I could see that. She's got a little too much anger.
He turned back to Gage with a grin.
I've always liked the sweet ones, though. But that anger could be good for us, since she's going to keep boxing.
Gage took a sip and raised his eyebrows at Silas.
So what is this? A fucking company picnic? Any others coming?
Silas took a seat next to Gage.
Just had a meeting with Nick to work out her contract, that's all. Have a seat, Ray. Now that work's done, we can relax some.
I knew I should go. My muscles ached with the desire to flee, but something more intense, deep in my core, told me to stay. I didn't want to leave Gage just yet. So, against my better judgment, I took the seat next to Silas. He was my ride home, anyways.
Cindy, get over here. I need a drink.
Nick called over the chatter and music in the room. A topless girl with melon-sized boobs slinked over. She sat on Nick's lap and pulled on a chain around her neck, revealing several charms on the end. One of them was a bottle opener, and she used it to crack the lid on the beer in her other hand, then passed it to him.
Can I get anyone anything else?
She questioned us with a sultry voice. Gage lifted his beer bottle and wiggled it, signaling for another.
Bourbon for me,
Silas said.
What about you, doll?
She asked, seemingly oblivious to Nick's face in her chest. I shook my head and turned to Silas. I need to go soon. I felt pulled. I wanted to talk to Gage, but I knew it wouldn't happen tonight. Not here. And the more I sat, the deeper my unease grew, a nagging feeling in my stomach that I shouldn't be here. Silas didn't pull his eyes off the server walking away as he responded.
Soon.
I slumped back in the seat and tried to put my mind anywhere else. Some girls were up dancing, and some were rubbing on other men. Some were naked, some wore underwear, but none were in clothes. I shouldn't be here. The big-boobed brunette returned, leaning suggestively into each man as she handed off his drink. Nick hooked his arm around her, pulling her back onto his lap before she could walk away.
Have you sampled the new goods?
He asked Gage and Silas. Maybe I was included, but I doubted it. He lifted the necklace from her cleavage and flicked through the charms dangling from the end.
The star, right?
He asked her, and she nodded. As Nick unscrewed the charm, she lifted her hand flat, and he poured white powder onto the back of it, between her thumb and pointer finger. She brought it up to his nose, and he inhaled sharply. Gage was leaned back on the sofa, turned away from me, watching his uncle snort more off the girl's chest. Nick sat up.
It's got to be the finest shit we've ever copped.
He ran his hand up and down the girl's waist, then patted her hip and pointed to Silas.
Go give him some.
She sat on Silas's lap, and I scooted myself away, snakes coiling in my stomach, knotting into a venomous ball of disgust. It wasn't even her I was disgusted with. The distance in her gaze made it clear she was just doing her job. This place and these people disgusted me. Silas spread out the coke on her cleavage and buried his face as he inhaled. Nick nodded to Gage, and she moved to him, straddling his lap, and I nearly threw up. I didn't want to see this. I never wanted to think of Gage like this because, no matter what the excuse, this image would forever be burned into my brain, and I couldn't unsee it or forget it. She braced her hands on either side of his shoulders as she cooed, "How do you want it?" His eyes connected with hers, and he took the charm from Silas and grabbed one of her hands, tipping some out onto the space between her thumb and finger. She moved her hand to his nose, and he breathed in, long and deep. The knots in my stomach were unbearably tight, but they tore painfully as he moved her hand to his mouth and sucked off the residue. She trailed her hand down his neck and rested it on his low stomach as he let his head fall back, closing his eyes as the high took over. She turned to Nick, but inclined her head to me.
What about her?
No. I didn't give him the chance to answer. I don't do that. I couldn't hide the contempt in my voice. I wanted to shout at Gage, see how easily I said no. Everything in me was boiling and burning. Nick's gaze glazed over as he looked at me.
Fine.
He turned to Gage, who still had the girl on his lap, and nudged his shoulder.
I thought you said she was fun,
he asked with a low rumble of a laugh that reminded me of Gage's. I couldn't see his face as he responded since he was turned away from me, but his voice sounded light, teasing.
I also said she wasn't worth the trouble. She takes a lot of work.
His hands slid around the girl's waist in front of him. A part of me was still hoping that he was acting, that this was all a cover for him. But either way, I couldn't sit here and listen. And really, no matter what we meant to each other, I wouldn't let a person say that stuff about me. I stood and faced Nick. Whatever. I'm not here to make friends or have fun. We worked out what I came for. I'm leaving now. Nick's slick smile was almost a sneer as he said,
Bye.
He saluted me with two fingers to his forehead. I glanced over the others, but Gage didn't even bother pulling his eyes off the boobs in front of him. Silas stood up and followed me. He stopped at the door and pointed to the main club.
Go out the front. They can get you a cab. Here.
He handed me a couple of 20s.
I'll see you Sunday morning. We'll talk and start training. Stay low till then.
He turned away, going back to Nick and Gage. As I climbed into the cab, I scanned the perimeter of the club, half expecting Gage to walk out, to talk to me. But he didn't. That shouldn't have surprised me or hurt me. But it did. I was realizing now I couldn't bet on him. He never comes through. I returned to my hotel, a hotel in the suburbs, outside of the city. I moved out of the house with the girls when I made the decision to stick with Silas and fall in with Rusnik. I didn't want to drag anyone else down with me. But sitting in the room, alone, I hit an all-new level of desolation. I had still held onto the hope that I had Gage, that I wasn't completely alone. But I knew now I was. While that realization hurt, a part of me was relieved to let him go. I felt weightless, untethered. I had nothing left to lose, and that made taking risks that much easier. And I knew there were risks I needed to take. There was no way I was getting out of this with my hands clean. I make everything worse. It's what Nan had said. It's what I knew. Each choice I made snowballed into a worse one, and now I was buried under them. Even the choices that didn't seem too bad at the time turned into the ones I regretted the most. As I stared at the text I just received, I regretted ever moving into the house with the girls. An unknown number sent a picture of Leona and Aaliyah walking into the house. The picture itself wasn't bad. They seemed oblivious to the car that must be parked at the curb. The clock on the dash was visible at the bottom of the screen, 6:38, letting me know whoever it was there right fucking now. The shock to my heart jump-started me into action. I hit the call button, searching for Leona's number, but before I found it, my screen lit up with an incoming call. Same unknown number.
Where are you?
An accented voice asked. What do you want? 'Cause I'm not there. You can leave. I stood up from the bed, unable to keep still with the jolts of fear shooting through my muscles.
Where are you? I leave, then.
His flat, level voice sounded familiar, but I wasn't sure. Who is this?
Dimitri. Now tell, or I ask them.
I'm at the Holiday Inn, in Timonium. I lied, but it was within walking distance. I could get there.
Take picture. Send it now.
He hung up. My body was trying to escape, turning inside out to flee as my mind stayed put, trying to think this through. I slid on my jacket and shoved my...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?